Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Church Online. Welcome to Wave Church. And I want to welcome anybody that's new to church, new to this church experience. Maybe a friend invited you to watch today. I want to encourage you to let you know God loves you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And I want to encourage you to stay with us because I really believe God's going to make himself real to you today. And church, before we do anything, I want to pray over two situations that have been weighing heavy on my heart, and I believe weighing heavy on the hearts of our nation and our church. And first, I want to continue to pray for the justice of Ahmaud Arbery, and we're going to continue to pray that justice would flow like the Bible says, and continue to pray for Ahmaud's mom. Just this last week was Mother's Day. And one of the things I've been thinking about, there's been a lot of things I've been thinking about in this situation, but one is the responsibility I believe we have as the church to not just ourselves live a life that reflects the heart and love of Jesus, but to raise up a generation. I can't help but think about my daughter, Liv, and to raise her up to love people and see people as sons and daughters of God, and to raise up a generation that fights for justice better than any generation before them. We're going to pray today. And I also want to pray for, maybe you've heard, Ravi Zacharias. He's a great pillar of faith in our generation, and really just needs a miracle. And I'm sure there's a good chance you've heard of him. You've been blessed by his teaching and his theology. But church, I would love for us to come together right now and pray. Can we do that? Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that right now you're in each and every single room, every family, every person that's represented. And right now, as your church and everybody watching, God, we continue to pray for justice in our nation. God, specifically in this situation with Ahmaud, that your justice would flow. We pray for Ahmaud's mother, God, that you would be with her, that you would comfort her. God, that you would stand beside her. God, we pray for our nation that you would bring unity, that you would transform hearts. God, that you would remove hatred and in exchange, give us your love. And God, right now we pray for Ravi Zacharias. God, we speak and declare a miracle in the name of Jesus for healing. God, we thank you that at the end of the day, we win because you win, because you won. And I pray for anybody watching that needs healing in their body right now, Holy Spirit, that you would heal people's bodies in every room, every living room, every household, wherever we're watching. And God, anybody that is new to church today, I pray that you would make yourself real to them. I think this is the type of gospel we belong before we behave like we should, and we belong before we believe like we should. I pray that we'd feel at home today, not just in our own homes, but God, in your presence. And everybody said, amen. If you're taking notes today, I want to encourage you. I know we're at home, so get comfortable. Don't get too comfortable. Don't fall asleep on me. But if you're taking notes today, I want to encourage you to take notes. It's been interesting to me watching church at home, how easy it is to get distracted, and it can be troubling to stay engaged sometimes. But I found if I take notes, it helps. And so if you're taking notes today and you want to write down a title, you can write this down. Clear the room. If you're next to somebody watching, why don't you turn to them and say, hey, clear the room. But stay with me, though. Don't really clear the room. If you're at home by yourself, maybe just say, write it in the comments, clear the room. I want to start off today by saying something a little audacious and maybe a little bold, but I believe it to be true, and I have faith that it's going to happen today. I really believe, I want you to catch this, wherever you're watching from, in every room, every person, I believe that the tangible presence of God is going to walk into your room. I believe the presence of Jesus is going to walk into your room, that you're going to sense, you're going to feel the Holy Spirit right next to you in your room. I believe that you are going to hear from heaven. I get the sense that God wants to interrupt our busyness. He wants to interrupt our chaos. He wants to interrupt our lives, and he wants to have a moment. He wants to have a moment with you. Whether you're a Christian or not, I believe God wants to make himself real to you. And so that's why right now I want to take a moment, because church, we're on mission. We're on mission as the church. We exist to see heaven party, to see other people hear this good news. And I would love for everybody right now, if you call Wave Church your home, if you're watching on Facebook, click the share button so that others can hear the gospel. If you're watching on YouTube or the Wave Church website, copy the link, post it on your social media, text it to a friend. Let's continue to be on mission and see other people saved in this season. I want to read a verse that I believe is imperative for our conversation today, and it gives us an important glimpse into the nature of the Savior that you and I serve today. It says in Hebrews 4:14 through 16, you'll see this verse. on the screen. It says this, therefore, I want you to catch this. If you can, read it along with me. I want you to capture what God's word is saying today. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. In the midst of this COVID season, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have, catch this church, this is everything. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We do not have a Savior today that is ignorant of how you feel, that is ignorant of the pain that you carry, but we have a Savior who understands. But we do not have, but what we do have is one who has been tempted in every way, catch this, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I don't know if you grew up playing sports. I grew up playing sports specifically. I grew up playing soccer. Don't judge me. I still love the game of soccer. But I have, maybe like me, and you have memories of when you played sports growing up. I remember the games that we won. I remember the games that we lost. I remember the goals that I scored. But I vividly remember, and I don't know if you experienced this, but there's nothing quite as refreshing as when we got to halftime and we got to eat some oranges. The halftime oranges. And if your team was like my team, it was different players' parents' job every week. It was like this list of everybody's parents every different week would bring the oranges. Some even brought Capri Suns. Can I get an amen? And I remember, sometimes, parents would bring like a whole orange. And it's like, well, that's borderline child abuse. How am I supposed to just peel this orange myself? I need to be refreshed and I don't have time before the second half to peel the orange. And then some parents would bring pre-sliced oranges at halftime. And if I could take you back, just the refreshment of experiencing a sliced orange. It was like the Bugs Bunny water in Space Jam. You were ready to go for the second half. But I remember one game in particular. It was, and I'm not going to say his name, but we'll pretend his name was Johnny. It was Johnny's parents' week to bring the oranges. It's the middle of summer. And so we were hot and we were tired and we get to halftime. I'm just ready to embrace a sliced orange, the refreshment to my soul that I needed to make it to the second half of this game. And we get to the halftime and there's no oranges. So Johnny, where's your parents? They need to be held accountable. How are we going to make it to this second half? I remember playing in that second half in the middle of the summer, and I was so tired and so exhausted, and maybe some of it was mental, but I needed my orange. I didn't have my orange, and I remember thinking, I just want this game to be over. And church, if I'm being honest today, in this season of COVID, there has been times where that is exactly how I felt. It has just felt like this drawn out second half with no halftime break for an orange. I've found myself at times where it's like I'm spiritually fatigued, I'm physically fatigued, but my ability to care has fatigued. Church, I'm tired of hearing of people losing their jobs. I'm tired of hearing and seeing racism still take place in our nation. I'm tired of the hate that is in our nation. I'm tired of the division. I'm tired of people being sick. I'm tired of the negativity. I'm tired of people having to deal with cancer and taking people's lives. I'm tired of the anxiety. I'm tired of the stress. And it's as if my capacity to care is being stretched. And then I see a video like most of us saw of a young man being murdered in the middle of the day, in the middle of the street, simply because of the color of his skin. It was painful to watch. It was painful to take in, painful to process. And it was a painful reminder of what humans, the darkness that we are capable of doing. And for me personally, all of this culminating, it got to the point where I remember I went home last week and I was just tired of it all. And I went home to, and Brooke and Liv were there, Liv's my little girl. And Brooke put on a Disney show. And it was about elephants. It wasn't animated. It was real, like a documentary of elephants going from one place to the next. And I remember I felt like my capacity has been so stretched to care. I remember I sat down. I said, Brooke, if an elephant dies in this documentary, I can't take it. We need to put something else happy on. Don't put on Toy Story 3 because that'll make me cry too. But put on Mickey's Playhouse or something because I cannot take a baby elephant dying in this documentary. That's where I felt that I was. It's as if my capacity to care has reached its limit. And church, you know what's true is it's normal to feel tired. It's normal to feel exhausted, to be physically, spiritually fatigued, and for our care to fatigue and to live and lead in a way to where our tank is empty. But what's not okay is to stay there. And the good news is we don't have to. And my cry this week has been to heaven, God, we need you. God, I need you. God, our nation needs you. God, our nation, the world, it needs the church, but we cannot be the church if we are always empty. And I realized something about my Christian walk, and I guess it just surprised me of how easily and quickly it happened in this season, I stopped eating the halftime oranges. I stopped going to the one who never gets tired of caring. I stopped going to the one who has no limit to his ability to care for me and for you. I stopped going to the one who has the refreshment to my soul, who can only satisfy my spirit and my soul. I stopped going to the one that has the answers that I need. I stopped going to the one that has the strength for my spirit to keep moving forward. I stopped going to the one that has the love that I need to love my neighbor again. I stopped going to the one who has supernatural rest. I stopped going to the one that even in the midst of despair, he has hope for me. In the midst of darkness, that there's still hope. I stopped going to the quiet place. I stopped approaching the throne of grace. I don't know if you're like me, but it's just been surprising and challenging and convicting of how difficult it has been to find the quiet place. And that's, church, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to approach the throne of heaven, the throne of grace. We're just going to spend some time in worship. And before we do, there's an amazing truth about our Savior that you and I need to understand as we approach the presence of God is this. And I want you, if you're taking notes, to write this down. Here's an amazing truth about our Savior is Jesus does not get care fatigue. Jesus doesn't get care fatigue. There is no limit to his capacity to care and love for you and for me. Jesus is not tired of your sin. Jesus is not tired of your pain. Jesus is not tired of your excuses. And you know what's amazing is not only can Jesus handle it, but he understands and he feels it. He feels it as his own. We read that verse earlier, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Church, I feel like God is saying to the church, saying to you and I, hey, I want to walk into your room and I want to have a moment. I want to have a moment with you. I believe an almighty God in heaven, the presence of God, is about to walk into your room. We're going to watch a video that's an amazing story of something that's taking place in the life of our church. And right after that, we're going to come back and we're going to spend some time in the presence of God.
Hi, I'm Marcy Telfer.
And I'm John Telfer.
We are the owners of Chef by Design Catering Company here in Virginia Beach. Through all that's been happening in the last couple of months, my husband and I had to make some really hard decisions on how we were going to navigate with our business.
We went from a caterer to a restaurant to a delivery service all in a week.
We literally saw all of our sales come to a screeching halt. All of our events were gone. We realized that nothing was going to be happening with Chef by Design in the next 3 months. At that point, we literally were getting cancellations every 2 minutes via text, email, calls, you name it. It was crazy. We had to have the mindset. We really sought the Lord and said, God, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to navigate through this? Because it was scary, and it still is. I'm not saying that we are out of the woods yet, but John was creating menus so we could then transition and develop a new line at Chef by Design, or a new division of curbside, pickup, takeout, and delivery. We also, John and I have always had a heart for reaching people around us and giving. I think that's even his greatest gift, is he's just a giver. And we saw how people on the front lines were being affected by this. And in our hearts, we wanted to to develop a program to support those people. And while we didn't have the income to do it ourselves and out of our own pockets because of what had happened with the revenue, we thought, you know, there are so many people who are at home wishing they could help. And we created an avenue with what we called Feeding the Frontlines. It was a program to take donations where people could buy a meal. So when maybe they were ordering lunch or ordering dinner from us, they would also then add on, you know, buy two meals.
Two, three, four meals.
Or I had people calling in buying, I want 20 nurses, or I want 20 people in ICU, or I want the firefighters, you know, to be taken care of. And they would just call in and donate. And from those donations, every week we've been doing 1 to 2 major deliveries to these people on the front line. So we've hit all of the hospitals throughout Hampton Roads and, you know, just supporting those people that are on the front lines.
I think through where we came from the past and into the present here, where God has taken us and where we're going, we relied on faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. What we hinged the business and ourselves and our employees on was hope. We all need hope. You know, there's business owners, there's families, there's people out there that need hope right now. And it's found in Christ. And that is has been the strength and the cornerstone of our business right now.
It has to be.
And I want to say to people and businesses and families, you know, with God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
All things, not just some things, all things. Right. And through this hope that we have in Him, all things are possible. I mean, we made it back then. We're going to make it again. Yeah. And I just want to encourage everybody that
we will rebuild on
this is just temporary.
Yeah, that's right. This too shall pass.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. I love our church. I've been listening to a worship song recently. In fact, just these last week or two. And it's a song that has been messing me up in the best way possible. And it presents us with a question that I would like to bring to the table of our conversation today. This worship song asks the question, what would you do if he walked into the room? What would you do if Jesus himself walked into your room? And so I want to ask you and I that question today is think about this. What would you do? What would your response be? What would your posture be if Jesus walked into your room right now? I've come to the conclusion that our response to that question is directly connected to our perspective of the nature of who we believe God is. We see in the Bible time and time again, humans and their different responses to when God, when Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes into their situation or walks into their room, and the different responses are directly connected to whatever their belief, their perspective of the nature of who He is. Maybe today, as I talk about the presence of God walking into your room, maybe you're like you're like Adam and Eve. And as Jesus walks into your room, you feel like all you want to do is just hide. Maybe you're like Peter and you've backslidden and you're unsure if Jesus would ever love you again. You're unsure if he would ever enter your room again. Maybe you're like the Pharisees and religious leaders and you have become so overfamiliar with the presence of God that you think you deserve to be in the room with him. Maybe you're like the man on the mat and sickness has so riddled your life and so riddled your body that the only faith you have left is in those around you, but you're in the room. Maybe you're like the woman caught in the act of adultery and you feel so ashamed of your past or your sin or your mistakes that you are nervous and hesitant to lift your head and lift your eyes to make eye contact with your Savior. Church, the truth is that Jesus wanted to be with every one of those people I just talked about, and he wants to be with you. Catch this today, church. Jesus wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. And our posture changes when we understand that our Savior wants to be in the same room as you. I think about my little girl Liv. She's not even 3. And she already understands the nature of her father to the point where when I come home from work, her posture, because she knows her father is excited to see her, that I love her, that she doesn't run and hide when she hears my truck pull into the driveway, but she's at the window knocking and waving, cannot wait for me to come through the front door. And she's excited. She knows she's going to get a hug from her dad. She understands the nature of her father. And so what should our posture be? for you and I today, what should our posture be? Because I believe the presence of God is about to walk into your room. So what should our posture be then? I want to read a verse that I believe is for everybody watching, for you and for me. And it says this, it gives us, I believe, a practical tool of what our posture should be. It's one that we can all do. No matter how near or how far from God we feel like we are, this is a posture we can all take. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says this, catch this. Humble yourselves, something we can all do. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. I really believe that the presence of God is going to lift people up today. Verse 7, cast all your anxiety, not some, not the parts that you think that God can handle. God's word says, cast all of your anxiety, all of your cares on him because he cares for you. So what is the posture that we take when Jesus, an almighty God, walks into your room? I want you to catch this. If you're taking notes, write this down and remember this. What posture do we take when Jesus walks into the room? Catch this, what God's word says, just be yourself. Just be yourself. That's all Jesus wants, is for you to be yourself. And maybe the enemy has been in your room trying to lie to you, saying, look at this mess, look at this clutter. Do you really think that Jesus would find this acceptable, would want to come into your room? Friend, listen, that is a lie from the enemy. Jesus sees the mess, he sees the clutter. He says, just open the door. I already know the mess is there. I can clean that for you. I just want to be with you in the room. All I need you to do is just to be yourself. You don't need to put on a mask. You don't need to get yourself together. But just as you are, just be yourself. That is the only posture that you need to worry about, is just being you. And Davey, our worship pastor, is going to come right now. And he's going to play some worship on the piano. And we're not going to sing. You can sing if you want to. Davey's not going to sing. I'm not going to sing. Thank God I'm not going to sing. But we're going to spend some time, and I really believe, right here and right now, friend, get ready. Jesus is about to walk into your room. And we're going to sit in the presence of God. And I want to encourage you, if your kids are with you, if they haven't watched the kids' service yet, why don't you pull up that link? We'll put it in the comments in case they haven't, so you can have this moment. Maybe if your kid's like mine and she's already watched the kids' service, maybe you need to put Blippi on. Shout out to Blippi. Maybe your kid's old enough where they can understand what's going on, and maybe they sit in the presence of God with you. Why don't you take a moment as a family and say, you know what, as a family, we're going to sit in the presence of God right now. We're going to pray. Tell your son or your daughter, say, hey, Jesus is about to walk into this room. Before we do, I can already sense the Holy Spirit here right now. I can sense that Jesus is walking into your room. I want to ask an important question, because there's a moment in Scripture where Jesus is about to heal a girl, and before he does, before he steps into the room, he does something interesting. There's people in the room, around the room, that are laughing and mocking, and Jesus clears the room. Says, you need to leave. And after Jesus clears the room, he then steps into the room and he heals this girl. I think there's multiple powerful truths in that story, but one that I want to highlight today, in this moment, as we sit in the presence of God, as Jesus steps into our room, I found, and I believe that this scripture shows us, that when Jesus walks into the room, oftentimes that means something else exits, leaves the room. And I wonder today, friend, would you allow Jesus to clear your room? Would you give him your fear? Would you give him your anxiety? Would you give him your pain? Would you give him your stress? Would you give him your guilt? Would you give him your doubt? Would you give him your struggle? Would you give him your sin? Would you give him your past? Would you give him your greed? Would you give him your hate? Would you give him your unforgiveness? Would you give him your pride? Whatever it is. I had a moment with the Holy Spirit this week, just driving my car, praying over this message, and it was as if the Holy Spirit was sitting next to me in my car. And I'll never forget, it was as if the Holy Spirit turned to me and said, Josh, don't give up. Reminded me of a word that God spoke to me long ago and said, Josh, don't give up. And Josh, there's some things you've been carrying in your room that shouldn't be in your room. Would you give it to me? Would you give me some of those things you've been carrying? I can carry those for you. I wonder, friend, what What is in your room that you could give to Jesus today? He's about to walk here. Here we go. He's about to walk into your room. Friend, the creator of the heavens and the earth is in your room. Your provider is in the room. Your healer is in the room. Your redeemer is in the room. Your forgiver is in the room. Your savior is in the room. Your friend that sticks closer than a brother is in the room. Your champion is in the room. And I want to encourage you, if you can, maybe turn your TV up, your phone up, iPad up, so you can just listen to Davey play. And I believe, I'm going to stop talking because I believe the Holy Spirit is in your room. He's going to speak to you right where you are. And I'll pray in a moment, but I just believe we just need to sit in his presence. Come on, why don't we pray? Why don't we sit in his presence? I'm going to pray in just a moment. Before I do, I want to just share really quickly some things I believe the Holy Spirit has put in my heart to share with some people watching today. Maybe the Holy Spirit, Jesus, has already spoken to you. Friend, I want you to picture this. Jesus is sitting right in front of you. And you can pick your head up in his presence. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to tell somebody today, hey, friend, don't give up. Don't give up. In this season, don't give up. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your business. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on the church. Don't give up on your relationship with God. Don't give up. Maybe you felt like the Holy Spirit maybe was telling you that. And right now, this just confirms that. I believe something else that Jesus wants to tell somebody today is this. Friend, picture this. Jesus right in front of you. He wants to tell you, I've never stopped loving you. I know that's for somebody today. I've never stopped loving you. Maybe you've convinced yourself the things that you've done, some mistakes you've made. How could God ever still love me? Friend, Jesus is in your room and he wants to let you know, I've never stopped loving you. Something else I believe that Jesus is saying today to you, to some people watching today is friend, I know. I already know. I already know the sin, the mess, the shame. And if you would repent and give it to me, I'll forgive you. And in the perspective of Jesus, it's like you never did it. Friend, leave today free. Last but not least, I believe God wants to tell all of us, the Holy Spirit wants to tell all of us, I want to be with you every day. Friend, we cannot come to the conclusion that these moments can only happen on an online service on Sunday or church on Sunday. Friend, Jesus wants to be with you every day. The church is not a service on Sunday. We're the church Monday through Sunday, and Jesus wants to be with you every day. I'm going to pray, and then Pastor Steve is going to ask everybody watching the most important question you could ever be asked. I'm going to ask everybody who loves Jesus to stay with us and to be praying in this moment, the most important moment of this service. But I just want to pray before we hear from Pastor Steve. Jesus, I thank you. If you're at home, I know maybe this is a little awkward, but why don't you stretch your hands towards heaven? Jesus, I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're in the room. God, I pray that right now, God, one of the greatest byproducts of us being in your presence is our capacity to care for other people is growing right now. As we understand your love and your care for us, we cannot help but have our capacity stretched so that we can care for other people on a greater level. God, that we would shine as your church, how we empathize, how we care for others. God, we pray for revival in our city, but we first pray it in our own hearts. God, there's no point in praying for revival if it's not first happening in us. God, I thank you for what you're doing in Wave Church, our church. And I pray for, in just a moment, this question Pastor Steve is about to ask, that people would surrender their lives to you. And everybody said, amen.
Wow, what an amazing word. And on the back of that word, I want to talk to you for a moment about your relationship with Jesus. I want to say to everybody watching online now, listen to me now, look at me. You matter to God. He loves you. God is not mad with you. He's not angry with you. And I want to pray for you today. Come on, think about it. What an amazing time to be connecting with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's not by chance. It's not by coincidence. You're watching right now. I believe God is reaching out to you through this online ability to let you know that he has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. God does not want you to live life alone. He does not want you to live life isolated. You know, the Bible says that who isolates himself rages against all wisdom. Can I tell you, we don't have to do life alone. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. If you want to pray with me, to give your life to Jesus, maybe for the very first time, maybe to come back to God, would you pray this prayer with me right now? Come on, just say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to make yourself real to me. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.